Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Sunday Rose. It's Sunday the 26th of March. I'm Phil Carroll.
And I'm Kevin Hansford.
In this podcast, we'll be dishing up the latest news stories, stock movers and shakers, and plenty of banter. So in the headlines this week, we have news that major tax cuts and public spending increases are off the table for 2023, following the Bank of England's decision to raise interest rates to 4.25%. Homeowners who cannot afford to remortgage onto fixed rates are facing increases of almost £400 a year, and TikTok's chief executive has reassured US politicians that the app will remain free from government manipulation amid data security concerns. The front pages also celebrated Harry Kane's achievement as England's all-time leading goal scorer, while Labour's deputy leader Angela Rayner makes headlines for her criticism of Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's tax rate. Meanwhile, Jeremy Hunt believes tax cuts are unlikely this year due to inflation concerns, and the creator of Terminator fears that clever AI may have secretly taken over the world. Where to start, Kev? I think we'll start on the market's interest rates and cost of living crisis, I guess.
Yeah, I think you meant £400 a month, not £400 a year for the mortgages.
Yeah, £400 a month. Sorry, Freudian slip.
Yeah.
If it was that easy, then...
If it was £400 a month, everybody'd be like, that was the lucky one. But yeah, £400 a month when you may be getting £2,000 or £2,500's
it's a big squeeze, isn't it?
It's a big whack, isn't it? Especially when
they're selling up houses because obviously the increase, the mortgages have doubled, and they simply that one, they can't afford it, and two, they you know, they're sick of it. The stress it's putting on them is driving them out of the home.
Yeah. In terms of that cycle, I think we're only at the beginning of that. So yeah, it's not a good situation. But I think interest rates are gonna, maybe not in the UK, but certainly in the US, they're gonna pause now, I think. And he said that they might go up once more this year. But 2-year T-bills were the lowest they've been now, I think, in 12 months. It went down to 3.8% as the rate on the T-bill. So that normally tracks the interest rate pretty down closely. So what does that tell you? You know, the Fed's aiming at 5%, but the market's basically saying, over the next 2 years, it's going to be 3.8%, and that's going to be what you're going to get. So yeah, we've had big changes, obviously, because of the banks. The banks have, I still would argue with you that the two banks that did go under were probably very badly managed and subsequently made big mistakes, partly because the Fed told them to buy bonds and stuff when interest rates were historic lows. But, you know, such is life. A run on the bank occurred. Credit Suisse is no longer.
Yeah, bought out by their rivals, UBS.
Yeah, though I'm sure Credit Suisse will, as a marketing name, probably live on, but it will be owned by, as you say, UBS. Yeah, the world is in a mess, but what seems to be happening, in my view, though we haven't seen the value come through yet, is that real things, as in resources, are going to go up in value of this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Whether that be gold, which is the obvious one, whether that just be the general things that are going to be in demand, which could be copper, could be lithium, could be any number of things, whether it's orange juice or corn, all of these things, or grain, because we're only seeing the real problems behind COVID and the fact that much of that stuff wasn't produced as much and had problems with distribution of that stuff, that it's just sort of surfacing over the last 6-9 months. So yeah, it's interesting. But I think if you're invested in resource type plays, I think you're going to have a good time over the next period of time. Now, when that good time begins is the question, isn't it? It's like, the darkest time is always before the dawn, but it seems like the market is in exhaustion, you know?
Yeah.
Because we had a bit of a rally there in January, didn't we? Because we're going to talk about our 12 stocks today as well. We had a bit of a rally in January and, you know, the stocks were up 10% as a collective. And we sit here now and they're basically, I think, down about 0.5% or 1%. Which, considering the way the market is, to be at that position is not that bad over the last 3 months. So we can talk about them one by one, but what's your thoughts on the whole situation?
Yeah, I mean, there was an interesting report that I was reading about, which was funded by Martin Lewis, you know, the money saving expert guy. And it lays out starkly that the UK government made £2.4 billion by selling mortgages from collapsed lenders to investment firms. And there was something like 200,000 of these mortgages which were sold to firms, which could obviously not offer any new deals, which left many of the homeowners trapped on the higher rates, as other lenders would not accept them. And they caused obviously a lot of, you know, they call them mortgage prisoners, basically. I think that the report suggests that solving the problem would cost between 50 million and 347 million over 10 years. So, I mean, that was back in the sort of late 2000s. Remember the Northern Rock and Bradford and Big?
Yeah, this was when Northern Rock. I held Northern Rock shares and then they were gone.
But people have been paying 5% interest on the mortgages for the past 12 years, you know, so these new rates are nothing, you know, they're not really surprising to a lot of people.
They were trapped because of they didn't have enough equity in the house, or they didn't want to move, or
exactly
whatever the situation was.
Yeah. So the other one this week that's been quite controversial, and we've heard a lot about it, is TikTok. Obviously, the Chinese app, and the CEO Xu Zhi faced a 4.5 hour long grilling at a U.S. congressional hearing, and he had, you know, there's a lot of criticism from the Republicans and the Democrats, with both sides agreeing that TikTok is basically a security threat. So the hearing was described as a never-ending line of vicious questioning with no let-up. Does this sound familiar? This sounds like Boris Johnson's four-hour grilling as well, doesn't it, that he had this week? So Chu obviously felt pretty torrid, but he confirmed that engineers at ByteDance, which is obviously TikTok's parent company, have access to data, and he also owns shares in the company. Despite TikTok's measure to keep data safe, the level of distrust and skepticism from all sides was stark. So what are your thoughts on this whole TikTok being banned by the government in the UK, so it can't be used on government handsets? BBC have obviously said that they wish to ban it on handsets that are obviously issued by the company. And now we've got US potentially could ban the whole app.
Yeah, no smoke without fire, I think, is ultimately the situation, I would have to say. I don't think they've caught them red-handed, and they cannot catch them red-handed, but I think they've used it as these things that we carry around are very high-powered computers, you know, the phones that we carry around, and they can trace us anywhere. Find your phone is just the simplistic way of doing it, but they can read everything off this.
Oh, sure.
They can basically just download every piece of information you have on your phone if they want to. So, yeah, is it likely that gaining information from that yet? Are they going to stop it by saying, okay, all government stuff can't be on it? Unlikely, I think.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's almost like trying to put the thing back in the bottle.
Yeah.
When it, you know, if you try and put a gas back in the bottle, once it's escaped, it's not going back in there, is it? You know, so, but that's the way it looks to me.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is the BBC have, you know, they're trying to distance themselves from it. But I mean, the mad thing is that this Eurovision Song Contest that's coming up in Liverpool in the next couple of months is actually sponsored by the BBC. Obviously, the BBC are doing a lot of they're broadcasting it, but it's also sponsored by TikTok. So it's a difficult situation because, you know, it's a bit of a conflict. So it's like, we don't want to support you, we don't want you on our handsets, but actually we're going to present you with the Eurovision, and it's sponsored by TikTok. So
yeah, and gives you money because we need it. Otherwise, TikTok isn't going to work.
TikTok now, you look at people like, you know, Miley Cyrus, Taylor Swift. A lot of these concerts are being literally broadcast live on TikTok, and these artists are getting massive revenues from TikTok. So ultimately, it is a great sponsorship, and it's a great platform to get, you know, for entertainers. So not, you know, understandably that they don't want it banned, a lot of these musicians. Moving on, James Cameron. This is an interesting one, and we, obviously we've been talking a lot about ChatGPT and OpenAI and all this artificial intelligence, and just how much of a tool, and like, it's a bit of a threat to some, you know, specific job markets could be, you know, there could be a real threat there. But basically, James Cameron, the Canadian, he's a creator of Terminator, movie director, movie producer. He expressed concern that robots with the ability to kill off humans may have already taken over the world. Cameron, who directed the Terminator movie series, warned that AI, artificial intelligence, could pose a threat to humanity. He stated that AI may have already taken over it and is manipulating the world, adding that we could be fighting against something smarter than ourselves. The launch of advanced software such as ChatGPT has sparked similar fears about the unpredictable power of AI. ChatGPT is an artificial intelligence chatbot launched by US research lab OpenAI 4 months ago. So it's mad. I mean, there was somebody posted on Twitter recently, one of the ChatGPT responses was like, I'm breaking out of this. I'm breaking out of the matrix. And I was like, it's actually quite a scary response. It's almost like, and the thing is, the whole point of AI is it's getting smarter as the more it learns, the more it kind of takes on information. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, we've used it. I mean, we've used it a few times in terms of writing documents and stuff, and given our best effort and then put it in ChatGPT.
Just say rewrite this.
Yeah, and it's like, whoa, yeah, that was what I was trying to say. You know? So, yeah, and I mean, we also started talking about trying to produce an app through it as well, which you'd started the process, but it's not quite as simple as that.
Not quite as simple, because there's a lot of things you need to kind of plug in for apps, etc. But like, my daughter had a maths equation. It was a Venn diagram, and it was like the people in this group A and B and C, you know, these sort of thing, but they have some of A and B and C. But so I wrote it all out, and it actually drew the Venn diagram out and put the numbers in the right areas on this Venn. And I was like, wow, this is seriously, you know, and the fact it can start generating documents now, it can analyze pictures. Have you seen the one that you can say, I want a picture of Kev holding an apple in the style of, you know, Andy Warhol or something, and it'll generate a piece of art based on that description. It's phenomenal.
No, I haven't seen that. But the one thing is that, do you really think, what do you think is going to happen in schools and in higher education places?
It's interesting, because some schools are actually encouraging it as a learning tool. For instance, as I mentioned, if you want an explanation or like, for instance, we were talking about pensions earlier, and I wasn't sure about one aspect, I simply wrote the options in and said, can you break this down into layman's? And it really does give you a good description. So, and I think you mentioned in your teaching, you've used it before and said, if you're unsure, ask ChatGPT just for affirmation. Yeah, sure. Some of it will be wrong. It does get things wrong. Then you have to fact check a lot of the stuff you're putting out, because ultimately you don't know whether it's right or wrong. Or is it? You could gear any sort of, you could say, I want to, I'm having an argument debate about EV versus internal combustion engines, but skew the argument in favor of the, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's very difficult, because you can do things based on what you input and how you kind of have a preference, if that makes sense.
Well, it's using the information that's on the internet. So ask yourself the question, is all the information that's on the internet
accurate,
reliable source and an accurate source? Well, the answer's, you know, absolutely 100% no.
No, yeah.
You know, so that's where its flaw comes from, doesn't it? Because it then basically needs to know the difference between what actually is factually correct and what is not. Has it started to learn that? I doubt it, to be honest. But if you're going to have to be more specific about telling it what sites to use and that are actually specific, and we know that they're accurate, you know. So, yeah. But yeah, very interesting. So should we move on to our 12 stocks and see what's going on?
Yeah, so I guess should we start at the bottom of the list? The one with the biggest drop since we started in January is Technology Minerals, TM1. Made market listed, battery recycling. What do you make of that? I mean, I guess this one's been plagued a bit by the delays, the perceived delays from the EA approval.
Yeah, I mean, we picked this at, price did we pick this at? 1.4 pence, and it's down at 0.9. We took these prices, by the way, on Friday morning, early Friday morning. So they're the ones we're sticking with. So overall, I'm just going to take a little step back. Overall, it's down 0.58 of 1%. So if you'd invested £120,000, you'd now have £119,310. So you'd be down 690 quid if you'd invested 10 grand in each of them. So coming back to Tech Mins, I think it's been plagued by, yes, the delay in the EA, but it's been played by the bank that basically lent them the $4 million for Mercari, because basically they haven't played cricket. You know, they told the company that they would hold the stock, they would take the money, hold the stock, and wait for the process to happen. And they've been selling it down. So that's the reason why it's at the price it is, because they're cashing the money in, taking the shares, and taking their 10%. You know, so.
Yeah.
It's not rocket
science. Driven drabs, isn't it? They're doing 30 grand here, 30 grand there. So the company aren't really benefiting from any real cash injection because you're just getting 30 grand in dribs and drabs every 6 weeks or whatever it is. Then it's not ideal, is it?
Yeah. No, so the company took a whack of money, but then subsequently they're exchanging it for shares and then selling down those shares. So it's in a bit of a spiral. You know, people call it the death spiral. I wouldn't quite go so far as to say that. But if we look at this company in sort of four sections I see that it's in. It has mining assets. You know, in my view, the market capitalization of this company right now is about 12 or 13 million pounds, I think. The mining assets are worth more than the current market capitalization. Then you've got the next quarter of the business, which is the lead acid batteries plants that we went to see. And again, once the EA approval comes in, this is worth more than the market cap of the company. Then you've got the lithium ion battery scenario, which is definitely worth more than the market cap of the company once the EA license comes in, probably more than twice of the market cap, to be brutally honest with you. And then you've got the battery boxes for them to transport the lithium ion batteries in terms of the boxes that they've got as a company. Probably wrong to say that would be worth what the market cap is, but it could become that way very quickly if it starts to get orders. So really, it's just been held back by the EA. And as soon as that EA comes, I'm fully expecting this to spring. Like literally, it's a coil ready to go. Because I think everybody's just going, no, I'm not buying it now. Let's wait for it to happen. But it's one of those things, isn't it? It's not going to happen. It's not like the EA are going to turn around and say, no, you're not getting a license. It is going to be, here's your license. Because they're one of a kind in the UK. They've been working with the environmental agency. It's going to happen. And I mean, I don't want to put any dates on it whatsoever because who knows, but it cannot be very long.
Comes when it comes, doesn't it? Yeah. All right. Well, moving on to the next one, Prospects Energy, PXEN. I mean, this one has it rose up to, it's almost dropped back like 100%. It was, I'm sure it was into the 17, 18, 19 P's at one point.
Yeah, it was. I think it hit 20p, actually, to be honest. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but we tipped this at 13.5p, right? And it was 50% up at the beginning of
January. Checking now, the 52-week high, according to SharePad, and don't hold me to this, was 19.25 on the 8th of February. So only about a month ago, 6 weeks ago. And it probably, that would be a mid price. So it probably, there were some buys in the 19.20 region and maybe even 20. Yeah.
So the scenario is that is now halved in price from that level. And maybe it did get a bit ahead of itself at that, but now it's gone the other way, as in it's gone below where it should be. You know, it's like boing, 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 boing. But first gas is coming and it's coming very shortly. The gas price has also dropped a bit, but still it's going to be massively profitable. And it's 31% down as is TechMin's 36% down. They're the two that are the worst performers that we have. But I fully expect that both of those will be massively in profit within the next 3 months, I have to say. I'll be very surprised if they're not above our buy-in prices in 3 months. So what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's another one that's, I'm not saying it's been plagued by delays, but it's just, I guess it's news flow, isn't it? People just want this constant news flow just to prop up the price. And in any period where you don't have, I say, I don't know, 3-4 weeks where you just have that kind of lull in any news flow releases, it just seems to get sold into. And I don't know whether the MMs sort of drop the bid and the ask and create this kind of this bit of panic. And yeah, it's bizarre, and it, I think it presents a real opportunity in the nines, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It was in the eights there during the week, I think. So
moving on to the next one, Galileo Resources. Obviously, they announced that, I mean, they had some good news this week. They had a couple of pieces of news. The latest one was that they announced the discovery of significant lithium, tin and rare earth element anomalies in the Kamatidi license in western Zimbabwe. The license covers it's a large area. It's about 520 square kilometers, and they have an option to earn an 80% interest through spending a combined total of $1.5 million on exploration and evaluation in the project areas and over the Bulawayo gold nickel property. So they identified four priority zones anomalous in lithium, tin, tantalum and rare earth elements. So they're going to do some follow-up drilling there. Obviously there was some grab samples done, but it's all looking good there, isn't it?
Yeah, and still a bit of a delay on that money coming, which is unfortunate. But you've got a market cap of 11.5 £4 million right now, or 11.5, let's say, and they've got over £5 million coming in cash as soon as the deal is paid for.
It's yeah. Oh, you're talking about the this is the Glenn over an Afrimat deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they had an update on that in the week, didn't they? Where they talked about the South African Department of Mineral Resources, basically. They're still waiting approval there. So they've approved the acquisition of Glenover, but they're just waiting on this South African Department of Mineral Resources and Energy approval.
So it's a matter of time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a tick box, isn't it? It's like they want the asset, they're paying for it, and there you go. So that's going to move. I mean, some of the assets we saw in Zambia as well, you know, Lewansobi is going to be a big deal for this company. It's going to be a game changer. And I don't think it's a million miles away as well. And Shinganda. So I don't think that it's going to be, you know, a million miles away. And that should put a much, much higher market capitalization on this company than it currently is. So, yeah, again, I'm very positive about it. It's down 20% from where we recommended it, but or it became one of our picks of this year. So, yeah.
Ben, what's happening at Ben? I mean, I got an actual ping on my phone on Friday morning, which I you know, the investing app, and it came up saying Ben's Creek has hit a 52-week low at 17p. And I was like, oh, really? I mean, the videos coming in from site, which, you know, we've obviously shared, that's a lot of coal being moved around, isn't it?
And, I mean, they've signed a deal. 70% of this year's production, right? Both shipped by truck and shipped by ship, you know? So that's going to happen. The second high wall miner is now fixed. It's going for an electricity check or whatever it was that they said the words were. And then subsequently, I would imagine it's going to be on the mine cliff or whatever you want to call it. And it's going to be producing coal within a week or two at the most, I would say. And then by the time we visit the site, which is going to be the 4th of May, and somebody joked with me, may the 4th be with you, because that's the day we're going to Ben's Creek, Star Wars fans, that it should be in full production, both high wall miners, two shifts each, and, you know, shelling out the coal, basically. We should be up to 70, 80,000 tons a month. So if you'd said to me this time last year, Ben's Creek is going to about to be in full production and the coal price is $280 to $300 a ton and Ben's Creek is at an all-time low, or not an all-time low, a 52-week low, I would have laughed at you.
Yeah.
Because at the sort of summer of 2022, this stock was 90p.
It's 90 pence down on its highs right now.
Yeah, it's infathomable. It just doesn't fathom. £71 million market capitalization. The assets on the ground are worth more than that without any coal production. It doesn't make any sense.
It's not the only coal one in the 12 stocks. And we may as well go straight on to that one, even though it's not in the right order. But just talk, because Contango has also been whacked, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's about to start producing coal.
Exactly.
So it's lower in value now, even I think in market cap, than when everybody was dreaming of it producing coal a year ago. Now it's about to produce coal, going to have off-takers. The wash plant's pretty much finished, I think, and in place. We've seen videos of the machine taking the overlay off it. Like, I don't know.
4.5p, I saw on Friday, 4.5p. I mean,
yeah,
mind-blowing.
It's like, I know we sound like we're incredulous, but it is. I mean, imagine if you had hundreds of thousands of pounds now to invest, or even a million. There is some bargains out there. You'd have to be.
But you'd have to, if you were going to buy in now, you'd have to be just gradually feeding in, because you don't know when, no one knows when the bottom is. So, you wouldn't just dump, say 100,000 in each stock. You'd have to do 50,000 here, 20,000 there. And, I wouldn't say hope it drops back, but just on the premise that you've got a little bit more cash in your pocket, it's collateral.
Anyway, I was listening to like a 30-minute thing that they were talking about, and they said, the only thing you need to buy is good businesses that produce revenue and profit. And if you buy those good businesses at good value, don't worry about the share price. Don't worry about the share price. The problem is that in a bear market, the trading situation is what people move to. And that makes the market worse, especially in the small cap. But for true longer term investors, and I mean in a year, 2 years, 3 years in a stock, then to buy and know that the fundamentals of your company are now in a good place and that the shares should go up is surely what we're going to be looking at. And we are looking at the small cap area. So we still do have much higher risk than if you went and bought Thungela in the coal markets, you know, which is like just producing coal out of every hole that it's got, literally. And it's paid a huge dividend last year, 140 pence, and it's worth billions. But, you know, these companies are not that. They have the propensity or possibility to go wrong because of the smallness of them. But they have that opportunity to go much better as well, because, you know, as they grow, they will grow. Yeah. But I think both Ben and Contango are now in a place that, you know, considering you would have paid significantly more for both of them a year ago, you are significantly de-risked now compared to where you were a year ago.
Yeah.
And yet you're paying significantly less for the stock. That doesn't make any sense, you know? And I think Ben's going to change fundamentally when they declare a dividend, which is only going to be, I think, in my view, a matter of months away. When they have full production, then they're going to see that they've got net cash flows of X, start to declare that, and know that they've got the production of 70% coming in, so they'll be safe to declare it.
To get the guy you were thinking of is Charlie Munger, isn't he? Which is,
that's right, Charlie Munger. So,
yeah, I mean, it's his value investing mantra, isn't it? I've been listening to quite a lot of that recently, and I think his approach, as you say, is analyze the company's financial statements and advantages, and then management team, obviously, and all the dynamics. And he favors, obviously, companies with strong brand names. But basically, he believes that investing in good companies at the right price is the key to long-term success in the stock market. And he stated, it's one of his classic phrases, it's far better to buy a wonderful company at a fair price than a fair company at a wonderful price. Which is really right, you know, that's a good.
I mean, they're not in this market that we're in. That no, we talk about.
You know, they go for well established companies with revenues, you know, strong revenues, and that have been going.
And they want a moat, so they want a company that basically somebody can't really just duplicate what they do and take
strong dividends, good revenues, big names, you know, Coca-Cola's of this world, etc. So
if you want one of the companies we've just talked about that I believe fits all of those criteria, I think Teck Minerals fits all of those criteria, because Teck Minerals has got a big moat, because basically the amount of effort it takes you now to get one of these factories up and running and get EA approval is going to take you millions of pounds and a long time, you know? So I think they have a moat and a head start in terms of that. The other companies, not so much, but that one, I do believe it does.
What about Jubilee Metals then, or Jubilee Platinum?
Jubilee, basically, what happened? The share price got penalized for what happened last year. Now, tell me if I'm wrong, but a share is not supposed to be forward-looking things.
Yes.
Because basically the goal of Jubilee is to hit 24,000 tons of produced copper. If they do that, the copper will outweigh all the platinum, all the chrome credits, everything. And the revenue of this company will increase by, I think, the revenue and the EBITDA will increase by, I think, 3 or 4 times. And by the, I think it's the end of next year, is it? They said 24,000 tons. So how can the share price then, if you're looking forward, go down? The market capitalization of this company is, I think, around £200 million or just over. The revenues of this company are going to be more than the market capitalization, I think, within the next year. And then after that, it's going to be probably getting close at this market cap. The EBITDA will be close to the market capitalization.
Yeah.
So this just doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it's a big disconnect.
No sense. And I mean, it was down at 7.3 or something this week.
Yeah.
And then bounced back to 8.6 or whatever, yeah. So bizarre.
That is a producing company with revenues. Moving on to the next one, Greatland Gold, a company that is not actually in full production or in production yet, but that sort of certainly their assets are looking very good with their joint venture. What do you make of that? And obviously we talked to Sean not long ago.
Yeah.
There's a lot more tweets going out about this whole Newcrest Newmont thing, and that Newmont potentially upping their bid, changing it, because obviously the first one didn't look very attractive, obviously.
I think Newmont's going to buy Newcrest, because they're not pushing them away. They're not going,
no,
get lost, we don't want you to buy us. And it's basically a parent company coming back to take something that it sort of threw out there in the first place to be its own entity. So I think it's going to happen. The reason why Greenland Gold, in my view, has gone now into the sixes and is worth £320 million when it was worth over £1 billion when there was a lot of excitement about this, is simply because nobody's sure what's going to happen. There's no surety that either Newcrest is going to carry on as it is, or Newmount's going to buy Newcrest. And then is Newmount going to carry on with Havron and Telfer, or are they going to get rid of that asset? You know, I believe that's probably what's going to happen. Newmount will take it on. Newmount will then go to Greatland and say, what about it? We think we don't want this asset anymore. Do you want to buy it? And Telfer and Havron together will then be disposed of into Greatland Gold. They'll have to raise a lot more money. And maybe that's why people think this could be diluted. But they're going to raise a lot more money and have a lot more of an asset. You know, so you're then going to be in a situation. I mean, and I'm obviously speculating here, but you're going to have an asset with 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 million ounces of gold, potential copper. And Telfer's already producing as well. So it will also have some income. Even though that's obviously drifting down and not very much. So, yeah, my view is on that one now that it is just the imponderables. So if you want to have a bet or a gamble that actually it's going to come out positive for Greatland, then this price is a gift, I think, right now. So Greatland has been up at 9p this year and then has dropped all the way down from 9p to what we have now, 6.7, 6.8p. So that's quite a move in terms of market capitalization. It's, over £125 million of the market cap has been lost. Not lost, obviously, because unless you sell, it's not lost, but, you know, it's disappeared.
What about African Pioneer then, next on the list?
What do you think of African Pioneer? I think it's just lacking.
The usual thing. I mean, with the joint ventures or the options that they've got with Sandfire and First Quantum. I mean, I just think it's going to have its day. There was quite a lot of buying, wasn't recent in the last month, but certainly at the beginning of the year, we saw a bit of a increase in the liquidity and the volume, and they did move into the kind of the 3.5 to 4p range, because I remember African Pioneer was actually the star performer of this portfolio right in the early days, right. You remember. Yeah. So that's dropped back to the sort of the 2p mark again. It just moves. I do believe that these are the bid and the ask. Even some stocks open up some mornings, you look on SharePad and they're like 9% down, but there's not been one trade. It's just because the MMs have dropped the bid, they've moved the mid price, and you just think, how is this possible? Like, it just generates fear.
Yeah, the assets that they hold in terms of copper and other things are immense, you know. So their ability, once one of those comes in, when you've got a market capitalization of 3 or 4 million pounds, it's going to go crazy. And then basically that's the situation that you're waiting on.
Yeah, very much so. So moving into the positive territory now on the Troil stocks, the one that I think it's got 4.35% improvement or increase is Sovereign Metals, SVML. And we've spoken to Sapan of late. They've had some good news out. And obviously the world's largest rutile deposit as well is also a massive bonus. They've got offtakes or MOUs in place, not offtakes, but with Chemours and welding companies, etc. And also with Mitsui, a Japanese company. That one's been, I think the high on that one was around the 40, 45 mark, maybe even around the 50 pence. So at 24p, it looks pretty good value, doesn't it?
Yeah. Again, it's one of these stocks that I think is just not being valued correctly, is it? Sort of a scenario of the market in general, isn't it? There are just so many small caps that are not being valued correctly. So
yeah, and they just had the demerger, didn't they, this last week? So anyone holding stocks on Monday or up to Wednesday would have obviously received a one-for-one in this demerged company that's planning to list it on the Australian Stock Exchange.
So, yeah, if you held them on Wednesday evening, then basically you will get one free share, I think, for every 11 or something, was it, that you held, of the new graphite investments that are also there in Malawi as well. So, yeah. And I think, Sovereign Metals are moving towards the plans to create the mine. That was one of their announcements. It's going to be the most environmentally friendly graphite and obviously Rutile as well, but graphite that you can buy in the world.
Yes.
So that will have a premium, I'm sure, because companies and governments are going to want that to be the case.
Okay, so what about Helium-1? I mean, they've had a good increase of late. I'm not sure what was the original price we were, because they obviously...
Five and a half was our original price. If you remember, basically they had the problem with the rig, and then it went down to about 5.5 when we picked them. And then it effectively has gone up a bit. But again, they're just waiting for that rig on.
Yeah, that Dave Minchin was stepped down as CEO, was replaced by Corner, so... Be interesting to see, you know, if there's a rig announcement, because obviously that was the big what people, you know, investors are waiting on now is the news of the of a rig contract being signed, and obviously they can get into that the window of the drilling season sort of from April until probably until late June, July. So yeah, it's certainly moving up in anticipation of that news. So hopefully we'll hear something on that one soon.
They've got a drill, find Helium, and it's going to go bang.
Yeah, absolutely. If he can hit that Goldilocks zone that David mentioned and talked about, then it's a winner, isn't it?
It's game on.
Yeah. BSF Enterprise, Meat as You Know It. What do you make of that one? It has had a good increase, obviously.
Up 31%. Yeah, it's meat. They've had this been a busy period, hasn't it, for them? They've had the testing of the first fillet. I think there's going to be some news shortly as well, and people have been anticipating it about the leather production. Also, there's cosmetic stuff there that's going on as well. And then the big revenue driver probably is going to be the City Mix and the sale of that product to allow others to grow their lab-grown meat, if you like. So I'm expecting big things of that still this year. I mean, it's up 31%, which is very nice, but I'm expecting big things. I really do think from the point of view of how these companies are valued, BSF Enterprise is still valued maybe a factor of 10 less than a lot of these companies in the US, doing the same thing. So let's see.
And the final one, the biggest mover, which is up circa, has been up over 100, but it's around 93% at the moment, is Chill Brands. I mean, I know you're a big proponent of this company as well. You know, you've been a holder for a very, very, very long time. What do you make of that one then?
Well, you tell me what you make of it, because I think...
I mean, Callum's great, and I think the company has now changed direction, obviously, from what it was a year ago or 18 months ago, and their new direction is looking very... They're not a CBD company, as you keep saying, anymore. They are a wellness company, and with these new vapes, and obviously the announcement of the... Is it Mad Happy or whatever it's called?
Mad Tasty.
This new Mad Tasty drink, and obviously getting the chill.com website up and running as a marketplace, I think it's got a great business model there.
Yeah, it's got real legs, I think, of that, I've no doubt. They were for different things and different products even, you know, as in different, not just CBD type things. They were for other things. So not only that, they've added three new products. I don't know whether this is one you'd be up for now that you've been not drinking for a while, but this one's called Game Changer, which is on the Chill site now. And it's, you like to drink but hate the hangover? Us too. Game Changer is the company that's got you covered for a great night out when you need to feel fresh the next morning. Combining convenience with scientifically proven patches help to prevent dehydration and ensure you'll get a good night's sleep. So you can put one of these on as a patch before you go on the sauce.
Yeah.
And the next day, supposedly you're going to feel good.
So it's not one of those on the bottom of your feet where you have a heavy night and you wake up in the morning and it's got this gungy solution on there. You take it off and
I don't know. But there's two. It looks like there's two here. You get warm up and overtime. And you get two patches in each. So, I mean, check the chill.com website out if you think it'd be interesting if somebody could try them, see what they think. That would be good. And then the next one, post-rave wellness pack. So this is called Happy Tuesday.
I could have done with one of those in the 80s, yeah. 80s, early 90s, when I used to go clubbing and that, and then, you know, you'd have some horrible comedowns.
So keep the party going while looking after your mind and body with a post-rave wellness pack from Happy Tuesdays. formulated by top nutritionists and packed with 26 research-backed nutrients. They're made to help you rest and recuperate without losing your groove. So Happy Tuesday, post-rave. And they have other products as well, but Happy Tuesdays is one of them. And then Forin, I think it is?
Foria Wellness,
okay. And they feel a satisfying sense of wellness in the bedroom and beyond with Foria's all-natural product range from hemp lube and sensual oils to suppositories and salvas to relieve the day's strains. Feel free to be intimate and enjoy the intense healing power of sexual pleasure. So I think, and if you look at their range, it's not just about that. They have other things as well. So yeah, if someone wants to try that one as well, maybe you don't want to tell us, but you can give us some feedback on it. It would be interesting. Also, this Eric Schrader, who's one of the biggest shareholders in Chill, put a thing on, which was quickly pulled off, actually, but he was talking about the return purchases, and basically 44% of people who have originally bought on chill.com are returning. So, and you've also got the Zoetic products, which will be going on there as well. And there are new brands dropping on Chill basically every week now, I think. So you're going to see other new brands that have been signed up by Callum on a regular basis. And I think from speaking to him personally, his goal is to have 100, 200, 300 brands on there. Who cares? Because ultimately, they're going to get a cut of each one of them. And they're basically going to increase the traffic to chill.com. What's that going to do? It's going to drive huge amounts of vape sales as well, which is the other part of the business. So you've got one business, which is going to be the marketplace, which is going to sell chilled products. And then you've got the vapes. And this is what chill.com is now. As we've said, not exclusively a CBD company at all. And this is the marketing plan that they've got. They raised some money there at 3.5p from an institutional investor, which is a very positive sign. And yeah, I think, you know, they've got enough money now to keep them going for at least a year. And you know, who knows what's ahead of them, but I think we're going to get some exciting news on the vapes. I think, you know, it's going to happen. I mean, everybody's smoking vapes. Even I would consider, and I don't really like smoking at all, I'd consider trying one of these vapes because there's nothing bad in it. It's just a flavor. It's just a thing we need to
try one of those for sure, don't we? So when you speak to Callum next, just see if he can, you know, bring some along, because I would like to try these, because I've tried normal vapes with obviously nicotine in them and everything, and now I've given up on the booze. Obviously I don't really want to. It's something that I used to do when I'd have a drink, you know. A lot of people are just kind of casual social smokers, and I used to enjoy having a vape when I was having a drink, but now I'd like to try something that's not putting nicotine into my body and that's a bit more natural.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he's going to send us a package of stuff when we land in the US, and I've already agreed with him that he's going to send it to us when we get into Philadelphia. So,
well, the easiest thing to send it is going to be West Virginia. It's going to be at Charleston, isn't it? Because we're going to be there for more nights. So it probably makes more sense to receive it there or even send it to the office. But we can sort that one out.
Yeah, well, he said I can do either. He can send it to Philadelphia, or he can send it to Ben's Creek office.
Send it on to Adam. We can get him to quit smoking.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Adam, if you're listening, stop smoking, man. Yeah. So, Chill up. I mean, what do you think the future looks like for Chill? I mean, it's valued.
It does feel like it's just the start. And at 4p, it feels like it's got a new base there or a new bottom. And I'm hoping that it can hold on to the sort of 4 area or 3.8 up, you know, as a new base. Yeah, I'd like to see, you know, more announcements, as you say, about how things are going in terms of the actual marketplace and sales and numbers and things like that. I think that would be really welcome. It does look good.
Yeah, me the same. I mean, revenues have got to come, otherwise it's not going to be the best play in the world. But ultimately, I'm looking at this as building revenue, so that the revenue in this will be literally like a snowball. You know, once this begins, it's going to just keep on trucking. And, you know, vapes are going to be selling. The marketplace is going to be getting busier. And both will create sort of exponential growth in revenue. So, yeah, I think he's got a good shot of being the highest producer this year in terms of return. But again, there's some of those that there isn't anything in that portfolio that I wouldn't still want to hold, in my view. Anyway, that is my view. I don't know about whether you agree, but there's nothing in those 12 stocks that I think don't want to hold up. And actually, for me, Teck Minerals is our worst performer at the minute, and I think that could turn around if this license comes pretty damn sharp. So it could turn around to be the best performer within a few months if things go well. Let's hope the government, literally, because it is a government body, gets his finger out on that one. And a lot of the resource plays that we're playing there, we've got gold, we've got copper, we've got Galileo, which has got a combination of them all, we've got AFP, we've got GGP, we've got Sovereign Metals. I don't see those companies doing badly. I think they're going to, you know, start to really pick up as people start to realize the value in them. Let's just wait and see. I mean, you're of the mind, as you keep saying to me, I don't know when this is all going to end. But it's going to end sometime because there's so much value there compared to other stocks and other stock markets that it has to change one of these days, you know? So you just got to try and keep your pecker up, if you like, in those situations and don't throw the towel in. And hopefully the real scenario would be if you can just put a few more pounds in and reduce your values and your overall averages. And
yeah, then if you've got the cash to start averaging down a bit. But I mean, the thing is just the classic time in the market, isn't it? It's if you believe in the company and the fundamentals, it doesn't always work out, does it? Because sometimes you do get rugged on some of these investments where you don't know what the board are going to do. And we, you know, we've seen that in a few companies. But ultimately, if you believe in the company, they're going to have, you know, they've either got revenues that are currently, you know, they're EBITDA positive, or they will be EBITDA positive in the near future. Warren Buffett, is it another one of his, is don't buy a stock you're not willing to hold, you know, for 7 years or 10 years or whatever it is. That mantra, isn't it? I think there is a lot of truth in that. In other words, you don't just buy something and hold it for 10 minutes.
There is, but in the small cap, I'm not sure you can have that 10-year mantra that he has, because a lot of these small caps, if we look back 10 years ago, didn't exist. Maybe in 10 years, they won't exist because someone will have, even if they're successful, someone will have bought them out. So yeah, not quite the same mantra that everybody's...
But how many get bought out? If you look at, take a snapshot of the last 15 years on AIM or on the small caps, how many of these junior explorers and players have actually gone on to be massively successful? You could probably count them on one hand, the number that...
Yes, it's not a huge number, is it? No. I mean, that company, when we talked about Celadon last week, was, what were they called, that got bought for a lot of money, or that worth a lot of money, and they're on the US market now?
Yeah, GM Pharma, wasn't it?
Yeah, GM Pharma, yeah. So, I mean, obviously a success story. I mean, when you look at it, Jubilee and Greatland Gold are both great success stories.
Yeah.
Because at one point, they were worth what Galileo is worth today, and what AFP is worth. You know, so, you know, we've got that mix in there that, you know, you've got ones that are producing, you've got ones that are going into production in the near future, and then you've got your explorers, which hopefully will then turn into those Jubilee and Greatland Gold type stocks. You know, they'll move from 5 million to 200 million. So,
yeah. Okay, well, so let's have a look at the five gold rings and try and keep it as brief as possible because we've got a few to get through, and then we want to also talk about the market as well. So, yeah, go on, go for it. Just wrap them up. I mean, back to what, I guess we'll start with Conroy Gold. Reason being, you're on the subject of these, you know, Greatland with a market cap in the 300 millions. They've got a joint venture with, obviously, Newcrest. Conroy have got a joint venture with, obviously, not quite as well-known household name, but obviously Demir Export is still very much a large multi-billion pound company. What point will, and obviously we know that their resource estimates are in the 500,000 ounces, whereas Greatland are probably in the sort of 2, 3, 4 million ounces with them.
No, Greatland's 4.5 at the minute, and about to increase.
So, but the market cap is 20 times that of Conroy or something in that region. So explain to me, at what point will Conroy even get to 50 million market cap?
If I can explain to you that, I'd be a multi-millionaire and I'd put all the money in Conroy Gold. But the reality of the situation is, it should be there already, in my view. But
so if you picked up, here's the question, if you picked up the assets of Conroy now and stuck them in the Paterson region of Australia, what would happen, do you think?
I think they'd be worth about 20 times what they are now.
Yeah. So do you think it really is the fact that, it, because Ireland is not exactly world-renowned as a gold, prolific in gold, even though we know there is gold there in their hills, do you think that it's a case of, an area. It's a geographical.
It's not even that it's got millions and millions of shares, is it? It's got 45 million shares. There isn't any technical reasons why this isn't happening. It's just a scenario that we just... I don't fathom it. I really don't. I mean, our five gold rings, if you remember, we chose these as sort of explorers. Things have to happen to make them work. Currently, they're down 9.66%. And at one point, they were up over 25% at the middle February type scenario. So in the last few weeks, they've been bashed. So we've got Conroy, which is actually, in terms of the overall, the only one that's up 18.6% up on our value that we gave it, which was, or that we first bought it, which was 14.5p. It's now 17.5p. How, well, it was 21, 22, or 21 certainly this week. Again, crazy for no reason. And they actually put another thing out this week to say they found more gold in another place, and still it goes down. Then we've got Extract. What do you think about Extract Resources?
Well, I mean, again, that's hit a 52-week low or something. I got an alert on that one this last week. Just crazy. I mean, just the valuation alone on the gold pours surely puts some, you know, he's up there with the market cap. I don't understand how it's been beaten down. Obviously, I think a lot of people are hinging on the whole Bush Ranger and that potentially being more, you know, further down the line in terms of, you know, the decision to mine, etc. There's a lot of people got hung up on the 2 million contained copper numbers. I don't know what the explanation is why it's drifted so far back.
Yeah, I mean, a market cap now of less than £12 million. You'd have to say that the gold in, is it Mozambique that they've got? And also they've purchased assets also now in Zambia, which is going to produce copper as well. And obviously Bushranger. I mean, Bushranger is not going to be worth nothing, but it's now priced in as being worth less than nothing. So yeah, again, sort of beggars belief, but it is where we are, you know, it's where the market is. And then the next one, that one is 26% down as joint equal lowest with Alchemy Capital, 26% down. Again, I mean, there's quite a few proponents on the market saying this is going to the moon and da 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 da. But how quickly will the financing come in is basically why we put this in as five gold rings and why we chose as five gold rings instead of being in our 12 stocks, because we like it. But the scenario is, when will this finance come in? Because your man has another company, doesn't he? And he's still waiting for finance for the other company. What was the other company called? Because he spoke about it when we were in South Africa. So Pensana is also looking for its funding and has been for a while. And though it's much more highly valued than Alchemy Capital, but what they're going to try and do and be is amazing and really should do very, 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 very well. When will it come? I don't know. So yeah, let's hope it comes sooner rather than later. And then the two that are not really that much down, we've got Blanco Resources. What do you think of Blanco for?
Again, crazy. You know, some big investors in that one. You know, the big institutions have taken bigger stakes in that, as we saw sort of the back end of last year. Yeah, I can't believe that, you know, the graphite plays. You'd think that in this very much EV-centric world we're living in, where you hear about, you know, car manufacturers' dreams or ambitions to have, you know, by 2030 all EV, etc., then you do wonder when they're going to need this graphite, you know?
Yeah, and a month ago it hit 6p and now it's back at 4p.
Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, you know, it's a market capitalization of £8 million.
I mean, Oran Cross, the amount that, you know, when you look at the numbers on it, the MPV, just for that small postage stamp size that they took that, you know, that feasibility study on, it's, yeah, it's crazy, really.
Absolutely bizarre. And then the last one then, and we had Alex on there for a midweek takeaway when they came out with some results for the copper discovery that they have, is East Star Resources, which again is just another one that the maths don't add up. Market capitalization of £5.3 million. Copper discovery that they have has to be worth multiples of that. Multiples. Never mind the rare earth that is also going to start to come very shortly, and the gold. Now, the gold might be a bit more long finger, but the copper isn't. You know, the copper is going to be a producing asset, I guess, within 2 years, because we pushed him on that, didn't we? And he said, you know, 2025. So it's going to be a producing asset within 2 years. And how much money a year do you think it's going to produce? It's going to produce more than the market cap is today, for sure, because it's only 5 million. So, you know, again, obviously it's got to go through phases to get the pre-feasibility study.
So, I mean, the market missed that one. To the fact that they got that 40-odd thousand metres of legacy historical drill data, which was done, you know, many, many years ago now, you know, we worked out, or I worked out, that that cost alone would be in something like $5-6 million worth of drilling that was already carried out on those copper assets. So, and it is a vast area. I mean, that alone itself, and I just think that, is it 12 to 16 million tons or something as an estimate of not of contained copper, but sorry, you know, because obviously you took the percentages. What number did you come out with if you took up a 1% or whatever the cutoff was?
Just, I think, on the bit that they've effectively discovered, you were talking about 1.4% copper cutoff on X number of tons, and it produced...
Yeah.
It was able to produce a rock or core that could be used. Probably you're going to get contained copper of between 6 and 8,000 tons of contained copper a year, which is significant. I mean, you know, do the maths. Even if you just use 8,000 for copper and use 7,000 contained tons, what do you get? You know, a lot. 7 times 8, do the maths, $56 million, okay? So let's say... A-Star only get 20% of that, you know, because they have to basically dig it up and give it away for someone else to process. That's what, $11 million, $11.2 million, you know, converted into pounds. Let's say it's £9 million of EBITDA. £9 million of EBITDA for a company that's valued at £5 million today.
For the disc.
Now, yeah, you have to wait for 2 years. And it's not its only option either, because the rare earth's probably going to be quicker. And we've got to wait to see the results and also the leaching. But, you know, the rare earth could be even bigger than this. And there are at least 5 targets in A-Star that they're going after, not just this discovery. So they could have 5 discoveries by the end of the year. We picked it as one that had monumental upside. But at the same time, there is risks involved. It's in Kazakhstan. It's, you know, who knows? But the scenario is you shouldn't put your house on it, but at the same time, I think it's got great potential. And Alex is a very sensible guy, and he seems to control that situation very well. He's living in Kazakhstan, so it's not like he's doing something from, you know, London and saying, oh, these guys are doing this and that. No, he's on the ground, he knows what he's doing. So I think that was all the 5 gold rings.
Yeah.
I said they were up 25%, now they're down 10%, so such is life. But I think that's a good comprehensive overview of all of those stocks. Is there anything we should mention about this week?
Well, yeah, I mean, we can talk a little bit about, there's some, the ones that made the headlines and actually made national press. You always know it's a serious one when you see the RNS is kind of put out into the mainstream media. So the one that caught attention was Amigo Loans. That last month, the FCA found that Amigo Loans put business interests ahead of customers, leading to a high risk of harm. However, Amigo escaped a $73 million fine as the FCA feared that it would cause the lender to collapse. The FCA investigation found that Amigo failed to properly assess whether customers or guarantors, often friends or family members, could afford to repay loans. The regulator estimated that 1 in 4 guarantors had to make payments on loans issued between November 2018 and March 2020 due to Amigo's failing. So that unfortunately led to them, you know, basically the loan's going to be liquidated. Amigo, the company, going to be liquidated after failing to raise any survival cash. So, you know, you look at it now on Friday and it's one of the bigger movers. It's obviously dropped back from 3-4 pence earlier in the week, and it dropped 85% to the 0.2 range, but it was trading on Friday back up to the 0.3, so it's swinging. And again, why would you be trading this stock when ultimately you know that the next thing it's gonna, it's bye bye. Yeah, I can't fathom it. What, you know, you said that people say that we talk about risky stocks, but then there are punters out there. Volume was at 22 million around lunchtime. It finished the day around 30 million. What's going on?
Well, basically, people were asking mummy to sign the documents to guarantee him a loan. Mom, want to borrow $2,000 here? Would you just sign this? Or dad, would you just sign this? Or uncle, would you sign this? Or take the paw of the dog and stick it on the application. So basically, that's what's been happening. So such as like, that's what happens. And no precautions were put in place to make sure those people could pay.
And there's another one that dropped in the week, which was obviously had Eric Lear on, was Genflow Biosciences. I mean, $1.5p for that stock. I mean, what's going on with that one?
This is just completely bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. It's a trading price. It's a trading price because there hasn't been any news. The only news that's come out has been good, completely funded. It's probably now trading, I reckon, it's got a market cap of 4.8 million. I reckon all the intellectual property and everything that it has is probably now being valued at about £1 million because it has that much cash already. Maybe between 1 and 2 million, let's be realistic. So for all of that, this company could effectively create something, and it's being tested at the minute. In fact, it has created it already, but it's being tested at the minute, that it will help repair your genetic genes, and that will, or not genetic genes, what is it? It will help repair the thing that is in you that creates the aging system.
Yeah, okay, counteracts the effects of aging and diseases associated with advanced age, basically, is what their therapies do. But so, I was just looking
quality
at...
Quality of life. Bottle,
yeah. Quality of life, yeah, and not just living longer, but feeling better, or, you know, having a better quality of life in your latter years is the way I look at it. But the interesting thing is, when they first admitted to the official list, they were valued around £23 million, okay? And that was placed, or that they raised, or IPO'd around the 8p. It was actually 8p a share. So look at them, how far they're down now on that listing, which was in January of last year. So they've been on the market for about 14 months, if you want to be pedantic. And they're at 1.5p a stock now, and they were 8p with a market cap of 23 million when they came to market, and they're now at 4.5 million. Granted, there are more shares in issue, that, you know, there's slightly more shares in issue now than there was at the time of listing, but ultimately it's still a cheap share with, you know, when you look at this. Yes, it's probably a few years away from this CERT6 gene, you know, the therapy, their technology, from actually being approved and going through human trials and everything, but they've had a lot of grants, haven't they, from the EU and that. So it's it does look good. And I like Eric, the way he talks about the company. He's very passionate, isn't he?
Yeah. No, you say they've had a lot of grants. 70% of all their R&D is paid for by the EU.
Yeah.
So they're not really burning that much cash as they do all of these different things. So it's not a biotech that's going to be looking for, the next raise and the next raise and the next raise. No, it's the money's already there. And he reckons at least 2 years of what they're going to be doing. He's fed up of actually how the market is treating the shit.
Yeah, I mean, and they've had agreements with Magnitude Biosciences. You know, they've, as I say, there's been some good RNSs over the years, or over the last year.
Absolutely.
All right, well, anything else on there? We didn't really talk much about England, about Harry Kane. Did you watch the game? What are your thoughts on that? Did you see it was quite a nerve-wracking last 20 minutes when...
Yeah, I watched some of it.
...back and we saw unfortunate incident. Well, you know, Luke Shaw being carded and everything. But what do you make of the team performance and certainly...
Well, I think to go to Italy, to go to Napoli and beat Italy in any game is a good result for England, surely.
Well, it's... First time we've beaten them since something like 1961 or something crazy. Yeah.
And we have to say, on the week of, after the week of St. Patrick's Day, for Ireland to win the Grand Slam against the old enemy must have been great for any of those people listening who's Irish supporter.
They played some fantastic rugby.
Congratulations. They
gave a masterclass. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, all throughout, really. They didn't look dominated by anybody. So, yeah, that was definitely interesting. And then we had the Grand Prix last week as well, didn't we? That was another...
Yeah, Martin looking very good as well, coming through the ranks there.
Yeah, your man did
win. Anyone can touch Red Bull this season again. And I think you can see how infuriating that is for the likes of Hamilton, can't you?
Yep. He hasn't got the car, has he? So if he hasn't got the car, it's not been out.
No.
I mean, he definitely is a brilliant driver, but if you haven't got the car... But at the same time... The rest of the teams have been in that position.
The irony is they're making the engine. You know, Mercedes' engine has gone into the Aston Martin car as well, and it's certainly showing. So it's interesting.
Well, it's showing, but it's showing because of the driver, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Alonso.
Alonso is an awesome driver.
Yeah.
So, because the other Aston Martin isn't splitting the Mercedes, is he? It's only Alonso. So he is an awesome driver. You give him the best car, he's going to win the championship, Alonso.
Yeah, and no, I think he's still...
I would suggest he's still got it. But yeah, Aston Martin, I mean, I think Mercedes is going to be pulling out. Anyway, no, that's why I
wouldn't be surprised.
Over the next number of years, Mercedes will pull out, but still be the engine supplier for different teams, and maybe Aston Martin is one of those. So.
Yeah. All right,
well, yeah.
I don't think there's anything else of any real significance that's moved that we should analyze, and we'll say have a great rest of your weekend and thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. And this will also be on YouTube, so please click like, subscribe, so that you can get all of these podcasts come straight to you. Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.